I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're back in the host chair again for another Thursday night show, and the news world has just gone total apeshit, and we're back here to kind of man the ship and tell you what's going on. The date today is Thursday, January the 10th, 2013. And you are listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. I am your host, Dale the Truth. We'll get the call-in numbers out of the way. Again, we sometimes take phone calls. It's up to you and it's up to us. And you can call us at 858-683-1326. Or locally, you can call us in the Louisville, Kentucky area at 502-805-0334. We'll start out with the ever-popular date in history. And it tells us that on this date, in 1776, Common Sense, the pamphlet by Thomas Paine, was first published anonymously 237 years ago today. And this is pretty important. I remember reading Common Sense by Thomas Paine early on in my life. And the thing about that, it was just said written by an Englishman, quote unquote, when it first got put out on this date, and became an immediate success. You see, in relative proportion to the population of the colonies at that time, it had the largest sale and circulation of any book in American history. Common Sense presented the colonists with an argument for freedom from the horrible British rule at a time when seeking independence was still something that was questioned. Thomas Paine wrote and reasoned in a style that most common people understood. He foregoed the philosophical and Latin references. By the Enlightenment era, he structured Common Sense as if it were a sermon. He relied on biblical references to make the case to his people. And Common Sense put out on this date, 237 years ago, in 1776. We also look around that time frame. You fast forward to this weekend in 1784. This weekend in 1784, we had the peace treaty ratified with Great Britain. This was the Treaty of Paris, as they called it, and it officially established the United States as an independent and sovereign nation. The Continental Congress had approved preliminary articles of peace back on April 15th of the previous year, in 1783. And the treaty signed in Paris required Congress to return the ratified document to England within 6 months. Well, you see, Congress was scheduled to convene at the Maryland State House in November, but as late as January 12th, only 7 of the 13 states were legally represented. So operating under the weak Articles of Confederation, the Congress lacked the power to enforce their attendance. The time was running short. We come up to this weekend in 1784, and you see that the Treaty of Paris would grant the United States territory as far west as the Mississippi River, but it reserved Canada to Great Britain. You had fisheries in Newfoundland, which remained available to Americans, and navigation of the Mississippi River was open to both parties. Congress promised to recommend states return confiscated Loyalist property, but they had no power to enforce this. And creditors in both countries were free to pursue collection of debts. That all coming out of the peace treaty ratified this weekend in 1784. Now we move up to today. Well, we got one more. I don't want to leave this out. Fast forward to the year 1861. And this was a pretty big weekend also. In 1861, you had Mississippi seceding from the Union on January 9th. You had Alabama seceding from the Union on January 10th. And Florida seceding on January 11th. So that was a pretty important time also in 1861, 152 years ago this weekend, when Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida would again declare their independence by doing something that used to be seen as common because it was just known that you had the right as a state to leave the United States if you wanted. That was just something we always knew you could do. Now fast forward to the Pledge of Allegiance that people have been saying in schools for years, and we find it's a farce. And I say it's a farce And I know a lot of the neocon Christians get pissed at me, but why would we pledge allegiance to a flag of the United States saying that they were indivisible? Because the Constitution gave individual states the right to divide. The Constitution gave individual states the right to change their mind. And that's what happened with states like Mississippi and Alabama and Florida when you go back to this particular week in 1861. But we know how that road went, because all of a sudden we had a president of the Union who didn't want them to secede. Well, we won't go down that rabbit hole tonight, but that's what went down this week in 1861 when you had Florida, Alabama, Mississippi decide that they wanted to have their independence again. Now, back to today, the year 2013. We got some surveillance stories, and we got some gun stories. I guess we'll start out with a very sad story that my friend Ken Moman, who does our show on Sunday nights, our co-show sponsor, if you will, Ken Moman does the Liberty Unbridled show on Sunday night. Ken first brought this story to my attention. Very sad indeed. The story of popular YouTube channel operator Keith Ratliff. You see, Keith Ratliff ran FPS Russia. It was one of the top few YouTube channels. Keith Ratliff was from Frankfort, Kentucky. And then he had moved down to Georgia later on. He has been in Georgia, I guess he had been in Georgia for about a year and a half to 2 years. Well, Keith Ratliff has been found dead. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation is investigating the death of 32-year-old Keith Ratliff as a homicide. Ratliff was mainly behind the scenes in the videos for FPS Russia, but he did occasionally appear in the videos talking about and firing, you guessed it, high-powered guns. He had videos viewed more than 500 million times. Ratliff also worked for FPS Industries in Franklin County. This is a company that made weapons and weapon technology. And you get down to it, and Ratliff was found dead inside his own business from a gunshot wound to the head. This is what Georgia Bureau of Investigation spokesman John Bankhead tells us. This gentleman, known for weapon manufacturers, weapon technology, and all-around proponent of the Second Amendment, God rest his soul, was found dead inside his own business. And Levi Fox, who was a neighbor of Ratliff, said he couldn't believe, and we all can't believe, that Keith Ratliff was shot to death. They'd come over and talk to us and shoot guns with us, is what Fox said. We'd show off a little, show what guns we had. And like millions of others, Fox was a fan of Mr. Keith Ratliff's YouTube videos. It wasn't just taking big guns and blowing stuff up, you see. He would shoot them, and he would introduce a lot of people to a lot of new guns that they did not know about otherwise. He was educating people. He was educating people about Second Amendment rights and different arms that you could bear in this time that we have foreigners coming over to our country in this very busy news week. The foreigner that we were talking about on the Ed Sprinkler Show last night, who we affectionately call Penis Morgan. Mr. Penis Morgan does a show over on CNN. And Mr. Penis Morgan has ratings so low that you have just scourge of societies on MTV getting two or three times the ratings of Mr. Penis Morgan's show. So he decided to get his 15 minutes of fame. And as I told Ed Springsteen, who runs the My View Matters Network, I would normally just want to ignore somebody like Mr. Penis Morgan, but unfortunately this is a very important issue. And that's why I want to open up with a story about Keith Ratliff, because Keith Ratliff was very involved in the Liberty Movement. Keith Ratliff was very involved with helping out our good friend Ken Moman in his campaign, And Keith also helped out with the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. And I also was told our good friend Michael Lewis, Keith Ratliff was helpful to him with the Independent Kentucky movement. So this is a gentleman who is very helpful to all liberty causes, and they're investigating it as a homicide, the fact that he was found shot to death in his own business. That's really, really disturbing. We definitely send our hopes and prayers and thoughts to his family. I'm told that Mr. Ratliff helped donate time and web designing skills for groups like Independent Kentucky and Libertarian Party of Kentucky and others. So obviously he was a liberty-minded individual. And we hope that it was an isolated incident. It's bad enough that his family is having to deal with this. We hope there's not some underlying government connection. And I know my good friend Ken Moman said he wants to stay away from the conspiracy theories on this. And I have a few of my own ideals, but I would just leave it at that, because we just want to send well wishes to his family. It's sad how many different people from the Liberty Movement that we've lost. But now, since we're getting into this gun thing, we'll get right into this gun thing. You see, Monday night was when Mr. Penis Morgan had Alex Jones on his show. And I've gotten a lot of slack in the past for following Alex Jones, but I listen to all kinds of media, alternative media, that is. You see, it wasn't until this week I started tuning in to see what the mainstream idiots were saying, and I wasn't really watching the mainstream idiots to be informed or to be enlightened. Because I already knew what kind of crap they were going to spew on their shows. But I was watching them just to see how they would play this issue. And they're foaming at the mouth, folks. They are foaming at the mouth, thinking this is their chance. They're like wild, rabid wolverines, thinking they're going to get your guns. Who in the hell could come over to our country and try to infringe on our rights due to the actions of isolated instances of murderers? How the hell can they come over here to our country and try to start preaching to us about the Second Amendment, even as we have an administration like we do, continuing to kill children all around the world using drones? You're going to preach to us about guns? You're going to preach to us about, the poor children? How many thousands of children are aborted every day? And I know the abortion argument gets me in trouble on the other side, because I got a lot of friends in the Liberty Movement who don't want me to talk about abortion. But how can the same statists, the big global government idiots, tell us that this is for the children, and we've got to get rid of all these guns for the children, but yet they abort the children thousands daily? 40th year anniversary this year of Roe v. Wade. So we know it's just all BS. We know it's pure bullshit when they say that it's for the children. We know that. But it sounds good. There's a lot of mind-numb robots and idiots that sit home and believe this. A lot of people believe this crap. Again, Penis Morgan goes on his show and he dares to have Alex Jones come on. And Alex Jones got in a good rant. And I don't blame Alex Jones, because we saw the way that Mr. Morgan treated Gun Owners of America chairman Larry Pryatt. We saw how he was treated on the show. He was a glutton for punishment, because he went back this week for a second helping of Mr. Morgan's rudeness and boorish behavior. So I've constantly told anybody who questions the way that Alex handled himself on the show that was the only way he was going to get any words in. And I know people see it as a net loss, because nobody who blindly follows Mr. Morgan on CNN, that shell of itself, as Alex said himself, looks like something out of Hitler's hideaway and so run down and decrepit, I know that those people weren't going to be convinced by anything that Alex said. I get that. But it was a chance to appeal to a different audience. When was the last time you saw anybody speak out against the globalists and the New World Order on national television? Exactly. You don't hear that. Usually when people speak out against the New World Order publicly, they're shot and killed. So pardon my cynicism, when we see in the midst of all this, the story that we just mentioned, pardon my sarcasm and cynicism when I talk about the story of Keith Ratliff, because there's a whole lot of crap going down against gun owners right now. There's a whole lot of crap going down against the right to bear arms. So let's talk about guns and freedom for a minute, shall we? We've given that guy his 15 minutes of fame because that's all he wants is fame. He comes over to our country, wants to tell Americans what they should do with their Second Amendment. Nevertheless, his hero, Obama, has all these drones. His hero, Obama, allows guns to get into Mexico by the thousands in Fast and Furious and then come back over here. That's all okay. We're not supposed to talk about any of that. No, not at all. And like Dr. Ron Paul said today, if a federal agent marches in unannounced and says, give me your gun, Dr. Ron Paul says, I don't think we'll do that calmly. I think the American people will highly resent it and resist. I think he's exactly right. I think they would resent it. I think they would resist. So since we're on the topic of guns and freedom, let's look at this. The right to keep and bear arms is an extension of our natural right to self-defense. It's a hallmark of personal sovereignty. It's specifically protecting us from government interference. The Constitution wanted it to be that way. It's historically been the linchpin of resistance to tyranny. But here come the progressives. You notice I didn't say the Democrats or the liberals. But here come the progressives in both political parties. And they're ready to use their coercive party power to interfere with that exercise, the right to keep and bear arms. You see, when Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence that we were endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, he was combining the nation at its very beginning to the ancient principles of the natural law. Those principles have operated as a brake on all governments. They recognize them by enunciating natural rights. You can say they came from within. You can say they came from a higher being. You can say they came from God. However you want to call it, the natural law teaches that our freedoms come before any politics, and they come not from our humanity and not from our government. Even by majority vote, they cannot morally take these rights away. See, the essence of humanity is freedom. Government, whether it's voted in peacefully or whether it's brought in at the point of a gun, is the antithesis of freedom. We see throughout the history of the world, people achieve freedom when those in power have to begrudgingly give it up. And we see that from back around the assassination of Julius Caesar to King John's forced signing of the Magna Carta. We see that from the English Civil War to the end of the Allies of the end of World War II. We see that from the fall of communism all the way up to present day. Governments have permitted so-called nobles and everyday folks to exercise more personal freedom as a result of their standing there and demanding it and fighting for it. This constitutes power permitting liberty. But the American experience was quite the opposite, really. Here we have each human being is sovereign, as the colonists were after the American Revolution. Here you have the delegation to the government of sovereignty, your dominion over yourself, permitted the government to have limited power in order to supposedly safeguard our liberties. To safeguard our liberties. To put it another way, Americans gave up some limited personal freedom so it could have the authority and resources to protect the rest of the freedoms. Individuals are sovereign in America, at least that's what we were taught, not the government. The people are supposed to be sovereign, not the government. I have to say that again. This constitutes liberty permitting power. We did not give up natural rights, rather we retained them. It is the choice of every one of us whether we want to give up those rights. Neither our neighbors nor our government should be able to make those choices for us. We are all without the moral or legal authority to interfere with anybody else's rights. And that's small L libertarian. This has nothing to do with political party. That's just about liberty. That's about keeping your damn nose out of other people's business. Our government doesn't do that today. But the founders wanted to assure that the government would keep their damn nose out of your business. So they incorporated Thomas Jefferson's thesis underlying the Declaration into the Constitution and into the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is under attack, and we will be here to defend the Second Amendment. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters Radio Network. We'll take our bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back after this musical interlude.
Papa.
want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We think you can handle the truth here. It is the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. I am your host, Dale the Truth, and that was our musical break, and that was a little bit of Lynyrd Skynyrd, Was I Right or Wrong? And, of course, we opened up the show with Slayer and Bloodline. Now, we were talking about, before the break, our revolutionary heroes and our founding fathers, and we were talking about guns and freedom. And I was talking about Thomas Jefferson's thesis and the Declaration of Independence. So continuing with that for a moment, the principle behind the colonists winning the American Revolution is that they possessed weapons equivalent in firepower and precision to those of the British government. If the colonists had been limited to crossbows that they had to register with the king's government, while the British troops had gunpowder, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson would have been captured and hanged. They would have never gotten to where they did. And there have been practical historical reasons for the individual possession of the right to bear arms. The dictators and monsters of the 20th century, from Stalin to Hitler to Pol Pot to Mao and Assad, they disarmed their people. Listen to me, folks. Now step away from my notes for a minute. They disarmed their people, and only because some of the people resisting the arming, the disarming, were eventually able to fight the dictators for freedom. Sometimes they lost when they fought the dictators for freedom. Sometimes they won. But when your leaders try to disarm you, look the hell out. You see, we defeated the king's soldiers because they didn't know who among us was armed. There was no requirement for a permission slip from the government. You didn't have to get a permit or a license. You just exercised the right to self-defense. Imagine how many people would be screaming and bitching in protest if you had to get a permission slip or a permit for freedom of speech. You see, they all value that First Amendment, but they don't want to think about the Second Amendment. The reality, historically, of the Second Amendment is to keep and bear arms. It was not about hunting. Let me say this again. The Second Amendment didn't have a damn thing to do with hunting deer. Back in those days, you hunted to live. If you wanted to eat, you would hunt. I'm so sick of left-wing socialists. I'm not going to call them liberals because the classic term liberal was a good term, but I'm so sick of socialists and communists tell me, oh, why do you need so many bullets and so many guns to hunt? It's not about hunting. Get that through your thick head. It protects the right to defend yourself against tyrants. It protects the right to shoot at them effectively if needed, with the same instruments that they would initially fire upon us. If the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto had the firepower and ammunition that the Nazis did, there would have been a lot more free people in Poland, and a lot more people would have survived the Holocaust. You see, most people who reach some type of government power and authority, they reject all natural rights and personal sovereignty. They don't think you have the right to those. The people in government think that the exercise of your rights is subject to the will of them, those in the government. Most people in government think they can write any law they want. They can regulate any behavior. Not subject to natural law, not subject to the sovereignty of the individuals, not cognizant of any historical tyrant, but just subject to whatever they can get away with. Subject to whatever they can get away with. Did you empower the government to impair our freedoms because of the mania and the terror of a few people? Because that's what we're seeing today. It's about mania and terror. How can we scare the hell out of people? How else can you explain foreigners, globalists, foreign interests going on national television and saying, be a sitting duck? They do not want you to have the right to defend yourselves against attackers, whether it be a street thug, whether it be a government official, whether it be somebody that you know personally. They don't want you to legally have the right to defend yourself against these kind of forces. And now we got Vice President Joe Biden. He's telling us that destroying the Second Amendment is a public safety issue. This fool of a vice president, the second in command, he's framed the federal government's campaign to take away your Second Amendment as a public safety issue. It's not a public safety issue, folks, but that's going to be the way the government proceeds, like they proceeded when they said your car better have an airbag, and you better have a seat belt, and you better have a driver's license, and you better have a copy of your insurance, and you better have your proof of registration, and you better have your car's title. Sort of like government-mandated gun-free zones, where we have a higher incidence of death than areas that are not gun-free zones. We're going to go straight to the phones. I think I know who this is. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Paul from beautiful downtown Hardinsburg, Kentucky.
Paul is out traveling and about tonight. Paul, what have you say?
I'm coming back from doing some service calls in both Bowling Green and Owensboro today, so I'm actually one of those folks who actually work for a living.
Yeah, there's a few of us left.
And what I wanted to interject here, Dale, is I heard a little news blurb on the way back, and I've been off the grid here because of where I've been traveling here in Kentucky, didn't have any cell phone service. But so if I interject something you've already covered, go ahead and stop me. But I heard that the Obaminator signed an executive order today that extends Secret Service protection for life to former presidents and their wives.
Yep, go ahead.
While this isn't necessarily a new thing, according to the news report, there's only two families that will currently be covered by that. One of them is George the Bush and the Obamas. The Obamas will reap the benefit of that when they finally depart their kingdom. So I just find that kind of interesting that Obama needs to protect his sorry ass when he leaves office. It's almost as if the boy knows exactly what he's doing, doesn't it?
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I did have that in my stack of stuff if I can find that here. It is true that there was a executive order signed, and we know that, like old Bill Clinton used to say, law of the land with the flick of a pen, kind of cool, and that was the executive order signed today, like you said, having to do with Secret Service protection. We'll get that up here in the middle on the screen, but this is kind of odd because we don't have a whole bunch of ex-presidents living right now. We're very limited to how many that we have. In the past, we've had as many as five, but we really just have, don't forget the Carter family. Don't leave them out there now, Paul. Carter family and the Bush family and the Obamas.
Well, again, this news report did not mention anything about the Carter family or George Bush the first, or even for that part, anyone connected with the Reagans. I just find it fascinating that he needs to do that because he knows what he's doing. He's creating this scenario, and like the coward that he is, he's having to make sure that he doesn't have problems visited upon him or his daughters, but he's still a coward.
Way it reads here, it does look like, as you said, it may just affect, I don't know how you would do this, but hey, it's an executive order. You can make it up as you go. It does look like, from what I'm reading here, it was a law giving him, George W. Bush, and future former presidents and their spouses lifetime Secret Service protection, and it rolls back to the mid-1990s law that did put a 10-year limit on Secret Service protection for former presidents. And a lot of people didn't know that. I mean, some people didn't realize they had it after they left office, and some people might have thought it was indefinite. But in the mid-90s, there was a 10-year limit put on Secret Service protection. But with the executive order, like Paul says here, now they don't have to ever give that up from George W. Bush on to future past presidents.
That's fascinating that we've gone from pre-Magna Carta days to the Magna Carta to the constitutional government established here in North America, and now we're headed back to pre-Magna Carta days.
It's starting to look that way. I don't know how much you heard of me talking about that. I was talking about how a lot of these things were forcibly done with the Magna Carta and what we dealt with. And could you imagine if we had all these stupid rules when we were trying to first become a country, Paul, about what we could and couldn't do with our guns? Where we'd be, we'd still be subjects of the Queen.
Yes, we would.
Go ahead.
Well, the good news is that there's still a lot of people that understand what the Constitution was all about. And the even better news is that many of them are under the age of 40, which is excellent. This is excellent. And I think that the under 40 crowd, as they see their freedoms continue to erode, those who might even have been, registered Democrats will begin to chafe. And they will eventually, they may never become anything other than a Democrat, but they may become a little more patriotic to the founding principles. And then I hope that they come that way before it is too late to do anything about it.
Well, another thing to tie that back into the earlier story, Paul, a lot of people don't understand what the Constitution does and doesn't allow. And we talked a little bit at the top of the hour here about the gentleman over at CNN, Penis Morgan. We talked about his show. But the thing is, you know, we had this big protest, and Alex Jones did actually start the petition to get attention to supposedly deport Mr. Morgan. And the thing is, the White House, how ironically, how conveniently, put out a statement right as the time of the show was airing with Alex Jones on the show with Mr. Morgan and his very few thousands of audience that now got up to a couple million because Alex Jones was on. And the White House says, oh, well, First Amendment protects Piers Morgan from deportation. And that's not true. And Press Secretary Jay Carney from the White House issued a factually incorrect response to the petition to deport Mr. Morgan. He wrongly claimed that Morgan is protected from deportation by the First Amendment. But that's not really true because the First Amendment does not protect Morgan from deportation. The First Amendment, number one, applies to people who are citizens. And Mr. Morgan is not a citizen. And again, we're not going to get into an argument over the Second Amendment violates the spirit of the First Amendment. It's what Mr. Carney said in the White House. But again, you know, your opinion is protected in the United States. Your presence in the United States is not. We've had court cases about that, and that's the thing. I don't expect the White House to deport Mr. Morgan because he's one of their globalists. He's one of their cronies. But it is true that you can deport somebody regardless of their First Amendment rights. The right to be here is not the same as having your opinion heard. And I just want to make sure I got that out there.
You're being way too kind to Jay Carney. Dale, Jay Carney, as far as I'm concerned, he is a bottom feeder to the nth degree.
He's a catfish for the globalists. I mean, I'm giving him a pass right now just because he's so unimportant because he is a bottom feeder. But see, Piers Morgan is not a bottom feeder. People think a reporter would not have all this dirt. A reporter would not have all this information and all this background. Piers Morgan, we talked about on the Ed Springer show last night, was a very high and mighty guy in the investment field. And we saw how that went. Then he tried his hand at journalism when he was tied in with Rupert Murdoch. Ironically, Murdoch owned Fox News and the whole left-right false paradigm. We're supposed to believe that CNN and Fox News are like arch enemies, which we know that's all controlled chaos. That's all a front to us to try to keep us from seeing what's going on behind the curtain. But just the fact that they put out the statement while Alex Jones was on the show saying the First Amendment protects Piers Morgan from deportation, but it really doesn't. And like I said, I would like to ignore this guy on CNN, like most of the audience does. They ignore him. We look at his ratings. But this is a serious issue that has to be addressed. So that's the reason we're giving him a lot more airtime than he deserves, because people like Larry Pratt and Alex Jones have gone on TV and obliterated him because he has no response. He's only worried about how many bodies have talked out loud for guns. He doesn't care about crime rate. He doesn't care about how England is third or fourth in the world in crime. All he wants to talk about is they're not gun crime. So it's okay if you die, as long as it's not a bullet in your head, Paul.
Well, you also bring up the when you allude to Piers Morgan and his behavior, I think that you are in the bullseye regarding what these socialists are doing. You know, Alex Jones can succeed in taking out Piers Morgan, but for every one of them that gets deported, there's five in the wings just waiting to come out.
Oh, yeah, that's also, it's not about the deportation. Alex brought this up to just show what they're trying to do, how you have these foreigners and these global bankers wanting to tell us, oh, you shouldn't have that Second Amendment. You don't need an AR-15 to go hunting. These idiots keep, I mean, Paul, I know the answer is rhetorical, but they keep treating the American public like the American public's dumb enough to think it's about hunting. And unfortunately, you look at Congress. Congress has ratings lower than the approval ratings of bed bugs or lice. That's how low the approval ratings of Congress is. But people keep reelecting them. So apparently, that's all you got to do is tell people, you don't need these guns for hunting. Just give me that gun and everything will be okay. Just turn your guns over, Paul, and the government will protect you.
So Dale, what state do you think will rise up first to cut its ties with this bastard federal government that we've got?
Oh, I think if we're looking at one of the United States, and again, we are supposed to have that right to divide. That's why I said the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, I committed a cardinal sin in the neocons. I said the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag is a farce, because it says indivisible, and we should have the right to be divisible, just like in this weekend, back in 1861, Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi all seceded. And if that started happening again, I would have to think, unless I was just blindsided by another state, I would have to think it would be New Hampshire that would go first.
None of the western states, you think, would lead the charge?
I think it's possible. I just think New Hampshire, they do have the Free State Project up there. I mean, there are some good states out west. We see what goes on in Wyoming and Montana and Idaho. So it's possible. I mean, it's a very good question. I wish that more state legislators would take it up. I wish that they would have the balls to talk about it. But they've got treason backwards, Paul. They think it's okay to threaten to take away the Constitution. It's okay for Uncle Joe Biden to get on TV and threaten the Second Amendment. But yet, somehow, we're supposed to be treasonous if we go along with what the Constitution says. This was supposed to be an agreement, and it wasn't an agreement without end. It wasn't a certain number of years that states had to stay in the Union. It just said, if it doesn't work out, you can go your separate ways. And that's what some states tried to do. And again, you had this tyrant by the name of Abraham Lincoln that didn't like that. So he started killing off people because, God forbid, you leave our union. You know, we're supposed to be this big commune, this big cult. You can't leave the cult, because that's what it reminds me of when people start telling states what they can do. And Paul, your description of the federal government is right on about what kind of government we have. And I wish more states would stand up to them. I wish that more states would do these kind of things. Another story I had before we get too late in the tooth with the show here is mentioning states standing up to the government. Missouri, give them a little bit of credit for all their warts and all, Missouri may say no to the drone surveillance state. And what I mean here is, if anybody's not living under a rock and they've been listening to our shows here on the My View Matters radio network, if you listen to Ed on Monday or Tuesday nights, or me and him on Wednesday, or Ken on Sunday night, we bring news that no one else does. And the rise of the surveillance state is happening within the induction of drones in U.S. airspace. And the good news about Missouri is they had a state representative who had the balls to pre-file a bill to nullify drone surveillance in the state of Missouri. I know that sounds like science fiction if you just stumbled upon this show or if you're new to the show, but there are drones surveilling you across the country. This is one of the points that Alex had to bring up to Mr. Morgan on his show about how drones are hovering around out in those western states trying to arrest people. And this bill in Missouri says that you would have to have a warrant for any drone surveillance use in monitoring people for alleged criminal conduct. And we say hooray to Missouri if more people go back there, because we need more people to back. We need states like Kentucky. Kentucky has a short legislative session going, and we know this isn't a lobbyist-friendly bill, but maybe one of our legislators will introduce something like Representative Guernsey in Missouri's HB 46, if you look it up, called Preserving Freedom from Unwarranted Surveillance Act. My God, what does it tell you when you have to try to file, as a lowly state representative, a bill to say that federal drones can't come and surveil the citizens of the state of Missouri? It proposes to stop general surveillance by the use of drones by the federal government, and the bill does not mention stores or surveillance, but it's a step in the right direction. We have these unmanned aerial vehicles. You'll start to hear more about them, called UAVs. And they're part of an unmanned aerial system, which includes a ground station, an operator, and equipment to store collected surveillance. And even though the legislation only includes state and local law enforcement agencies, 10th Amendment Center Executive Director Michael Bolden says the bill has ramifications at the federal level because of Washington, D.C.'s strong advocacy of drone use. The feds want to push these on the states, and if the states refuse, it'll foil their plan. That's my gut instinct, he said. They already spy on Americans so much that our own U.S. Senator Rand Paul here in Kentucky said it numbered in the gazillions the number of drones we had. We're going to go back to the phone lines. I think we have Ed Springsteen on the line. Ed, are you with us?
Hey, I'm with you, Dale. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
I'm sitting here listening to the show, you know, like I normally do, and you're bringing up the drones. You know, what most people don't realize, Congress is on board of this drone program. It's not even just a Barack Obama thing.
Nope.
You know, in July, Congress actually ordered the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, to change their airspace rules so it was easier for police nationwide to use these domestic drones. So this is not, again, for me, this whole drone program, it comes down to the uniparty.
Yep.
Who is protecting the American citizen? It's certainly not the Democratic Party and the liberals, and it's not the Republican Party and the pseudo-conservatives.
But not the federal level. I mean, the majority of the federal level is all against that. I mean, Ed, they're going to tell you, I mean, what do you got to hide? Why don't you want drones coming in over your dining room and watching you? What do you got to hide from them, Ed?
Well, see, and that's the whole thing. That's always the argument. I mean, that continues to be the pseudo argument by the liberal left, and the right won't do anything to counteract that argument. It's always a question of what you have to hide. I don't have anything to hide except my respect for my privacy and my respect for my neighbor's privacy. You know, that's what it comes down to. And it's really interesting to me because nobody is holding these congressional leaders accountable. We've talked about drones for many months now, but we always talk about the president. And we use Obama when we talk about the drones, but it's very important for people to know that their own Congress, their congressional representatives, ordered the FAA to make it easier. And that's scary.
And they keep reelecting these people, Ed. And, I mean, I made it very clear that one of my favorite bumper sticker slogans out there, for what it is the Libertarian sticker that says, reelect nobody, because I think that if we ever did that, it would have great results. But as we know, the special interest pay the big money to the congressman to keep him in office, and he builds up his war chest, kind of like our own Teddy Ruxpin here, Senator Mitch McConnell, and his big, huge war chest. The special interests own them. They pay the big money to keep them in, and once they get reelected, then the congressman turn around and give the money back to the special interests and all their big projects with the military-industrial complex and the Monsantos and all these people. So that's how they stay in there. It has to be from the local up. We have to do it from the ground up. And Paul had that fascinating question about which state's going to be the first to rebel. I wish a lot of them would start to rebel. I wish they all weren't looking around and thinking, well, I hope somebody in the other state does it first, because we need people at all levels to do that.
Well, there's two things here that we have to understand, that we look at in this as well, though, because, you know, there is one story that's actually making the rounds and going national as we speak. Jackson County, Kentucky, right here at home, Jackson County, Kentucky Sheriff Denny Payman.
Yep.
Had told the feds to basically stick it up their butt to go ahead and make his day. He is not going to do anything to follow new federal legislation that's going to result in gun ownership and confiscation. So, you know, that's what we need, Dale. We need, because the sheriffs, believe it or not, have more power than our police do. And that's what we have to understand. And so we've got to understand. We've got to get the nations. If you look at Sheriff Joe, for example, out in Arizona, you know, Sheriff Joe and his unending quest to prove that Barack Obama is an illegal president, and his evidence is not disputed. You can't dispute the evidence he's got. You know, but you look at the power that the sheriffs across this country have. If we can get all those sheriffs on the same page, making the same statement that we will not enforce this, you would see this issue go away tomorrow, because the feds cannot deal with that kind of a situation. And when you're looking at the guns, for example, you know, they want to make this sound that everybody wants to take away the guns, the semi-assault weapons, the high-capacity magazines.
Yep.
For those of you who actually believe that line of garbage, you have to ask yourself one question. Why has the NRA's membership ranks, their paying membership ranks, not their guest ranks, their paying membership ranks of the NRA have went up by 100,000 people?
Huge,
just in the last month.
Yep.
What does that tell us?
Yeah, it's huge, the number of people that are joining the NRA, and I know we're probably going to go into overdrive for a second here, Ed, but it's huge, the number of people who are joining the NRA. I wish more of them would join Gun Owners of America, but it's kind of splitting hairs there. It's just good to see that people are getting involved. I mean, we'll have to save it for another show about how the NRA was created after the 60s, kind of a co-op with the government, so it's kind of like the controlled opposition. But just the fact that people are waking up, and you go to places like Atlanta, and what little rights of any guns they have over in places like Illinois outside of Chicago, they're grabbing every gun they can because there's a desperate attempt to get them off the shelves of the stores before the government gets them.
Well, Chicago's scared of backlash. If people legally owned guns, the Chicago Mafia and the Chicago Syndicate would be out of business. You would no longer know of anybody named Rahm Emanuel or Barack Obama. They would be gone.
No, and that goes back to Prohibition. I mean, that's how
you
look at today. You look at the big, strong globalists like Michael Bloomberg and his scum up in New York, and then Rahm Emanuel, the godfather in Chicago, and both those syndicates in New York and Chicago Democrat parties goes all the way back to Prohibition, and they've had control of those cities ever since.
It's always been mafia controlled, and that's who's controlling Congress as we speak right here in the U.S. In my opinion, you know. But you know, it was interesting too. I got to put this out there real quick, and I know I'm cutting into your time.
Now you're fine. We're in overdrive. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay. Well, you know, we always talk about the bait and switch, right? They're having these huge talks on Capitol Hill. They're having these huge talks. Biden is out there telling the whole world yesterday that they're going to use executive order if they have to get our guns.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, we have some great news for the Democrats today. Former President Bill Clinton, folks. Yes, former President Bill Clinton, the Democrats' favorite darling former president, will be named Father of the Year this coming June by the National Father's Day Council. Now, you know, if you want to talk about bait and switch, we've got to get away from this because the NRA membership has went up 100,000.
Oh, yeah.
People are starting to fight back. So we're going to tell the whole world about this great Father of the Year in President Bill Clinton. And his daughter is how old? 32 years old. Is he still changing Chelsea's diapers? So would that make him Father of the Year or ancestral Father of the Year? I'm not sure how that works.
I'm thinking maybe he's Father of the Year from all the different women who have breastfed him.
That's very possible. That's very possible.
I think that's where it came from. Ed, you got any big announcements for the audience before we get to our closing thoughts?
No, not really, man. Just folks, just if you don't mind, just keep on tuning in. Don't forget to check out LouisvillePolitics.com. Join our RSS feed. Please click on our sponsors. They help fund our shows. And, you know, if you're looking to advertise or anything else, write to me at myviewmatters@AOL.com, and we will get you together with an advertising package that, believe it or not, is probably cheaper than the garbage we're spending on these coffee news. So there's a lot we can do. But I appreciate it, man. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. Thank you, Dan.
That's fine. You reminded me to get the ad in there as well, so we will we'll play this real quick for the audience.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I didn't get that out of the way real quick, folks. Now we are in overdrive. We thank Paul for calling in out there on the road doing some work. Somebody's got to work to support the welfare state. And we're glad that Ed Springsteen called in as well. Now, getting the final thoughts, I can't say it much better than when Alex went on the air and ripped into Mr. Morgan and told him, you're not going to take our guns. But I think the best thing I read outside of the transcript of that show was what a United States Marine veteran penned this week to Senator Dianne Frankenfeinstein out there in California. And this U.S. Marine wrote this letter, and he said to Dianne Feinstein, I am not your servant. I am the person whom you serve. Former U.S. Marine Corporal Joshua Boston wrote this letter. And he wrote this letter regarding her assault weapons ban. And this is a proposed announced in the wake of the Newtown, Connecticut shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary. In this letter he wrote, he was deployed in Afghanistan, remind you, in 2004, was posted as an eye report over on CNN. And they couldn't even avoid it because the eye reporters do more work than the actual reporters do at CNN. Hell, they're just sitting around the coffee room and kind of serving fellatio to Piers Morgan and people like that. But this U.S. Marine wrote, I will not register my weapons should this bill be passed, as I do not believe it is the government's right to know what I own. Nor do I think it prudent to tell you what I own so that it can be taken from me by a group of people who enjoy armed protection, yet decry me having the same a crime. You, ma'am, this is him talking to Senator Feinstein, you, ma'am, have overstepped a line that is not your domain. I am a Marine Corps veteran of 8 years, and I will not have some woman who proclaims the evil of an inanimate object, yet carries one, tell me that I may not have one. And see, that's what it comes down to. I'm in agreement with this Marine's view. And also, along with that, we can piggyback the view on bringing our country's financial crisis under control. See, the reason that we are seeing a rise in multiple deaths is because of the financial instability. The holier-than-thou crowd's actions or lack thereof are pushing upon us. People have lost their homes, they're going homeless, their job rates are lower than a damn rattlesnake, the health care crises, the citizenship of these undocumented agricultural workers. Why don't Congress people stop giving billions of dollars to other countries, and I don't care if it's Egypt or Israel or the Sudan or Saudi Arabia, why don't the Congress people stop giving away money to countries that don't even like us? The list is staggering. People have less and less, but they're being pressured to levels like they've never seen. Recognize the real heroes out there. Recognize the real heroes like San Antonio, Texas female sheriff who shot an armed assailant. She saved tens or hundreds of lives. But no one heard about that story. It was a legal individual stopping an illegal individual's actions. So you don't get to hear about that story because that one doesn't matter. That wasn't big news. That wasn't a lot of blood to put across the front page. If it bleeds, it leads. That's what we've always been told. And that's exactly true. They don't want to hear good news about guns. But the fact is, you call a Capitol Hill and you tell them, help us help them help ourselves, they think you're crazy. But hell, help our country stand free, crying out about this injustice, and be willing to give a fellow citizen a hand up, not a hand out. This is what we're supposed to be taught. For those out there who are Christians, it says, he that is greatest amongst you is the servant of them all. So this Marine got it right when he stood up to Feinstein. And if you go and stand up to John Yarmuth or your senator, your congressman, that's what you got to do. You got to stand up to him. You got to get into some heated debates, but be informed. Because Congress needs to prepare and implement budgets that work for us. They haven't done anything to bring us back to a position of being healthy and full of life. All they do is decide which corporations get our money. Isn't that what they really do? The number of deaths caused by gunmen is nothing, nothing, compared to the number of deaths caused by abortion and poverty. But where does the money go? What kind of legislation do they always seem to be working on? Tell them stop insulting our intelligence, or you're not going to reelect them. But they're only going to believe you if you put actions behind your words. You got to get your ass up off the couch. You got to get your ass up off from behind the keyboard and be willing to stand up and show them that you mean what you say. They're all out there telling you that they want to send death to your Second Amendment rights, and you need to tell every one of them, death to your New World Order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!